Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, May 11th. Today, in Colorado, child placement agencies and caseworkers say they see more LGBTQ kids every year. But does Colorado have enough homes to accept them? Before we begin, a quick message from our sponsors, the Grand Junction Economic Partnership. The Grand Junction Economic Partnership is your one-stop resource to expand your business on the Western Slope. They offer free site selection and relocation services to you and your employees when moving to Grand Junction, Fruita, Palisade, and surrounding communities in Mesa County. Visit gjep.org to get started. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1891, President Benjamin Harrison, known as the Human Iceberg for his chilly personality, defied expectations during a whirlwind visit through Colorado. The busiest day of Harrison's visit was May 11th, which started in Leadville. He quipped about the thin air, praised the hard-working silver miners, and drew cheers with the line, quote, "We stand here on this mountaintop and see what I think is the highest evidence of American pluck to be found in the United States." He proceeded down the Arkansas River Valley to Buena Vista and Salida. Then the presidential party continued through the Royal Gorge, pausing to marvel at the Hanging Bridge. He touted the nascent oil industry in Fremont County and arrived in Pueblo in the mid-afternoon. In the evening, his entourage reached Colorado Springs, where he received a parade of Civil War veterans and made one last speech, his seventh of the day. Harrison's visit culminated on May 12th with a parade through Denver and a speech at the corner of Broadway and Colfax Avenue. Late that evening, he made a final stop in Colorado, delivering brief remarks in Akron. The president summed up his impression of Colorado, quote, "I am glad to have an opportunity that I have not previously had in seeing the state of Colorado, great in her present condition and having a greater future development than perhaps you yourselves realize. If he only knew." Now, a quick message from our sponsors, the Colorado Education Association. The Colorado Education Association is made up of more than 39,000 educators across Colorado, all working together in a strong union to make sure students get the exceptional public schools they deserve. Learn more about CEA by visiting coloradoea.org. Next, our feature story. Some child advocacy groups say nearly one-third of children in foster care are LGBTQ across the country, and in Colorado, child placement agencies and caseworkers say they see more LGBTQ kids every year. But does Colorado have enough homes to accept these kids? Reporter Olivia Prenzel talks with Jennifer Brown about what she learned while reporting her latest story.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, Olivia.
So Kids Crossing is one of about 40 child placement agencies that recruits and licenses foster families across Colorado. But what makes this agency different?
Well, this agency in Colorado Springs is really one of the few that I could see in Colorado that is really actively recruiting same-sex couples and really making a huge push to find more families who are not just willing, but, you know, ready and comfortable taking LGBTQ youth. And some of you might be thinking like, wow, I thought, you know, everyone did this. But what I learned reporting this story, talking to several agencies and the state and Adams County, was really that there's a huge difference between actively recruiting same-sex couples and training your foster families for acceptance of LGBTQ children and just sort of passively accepting them when they apply, if that makes any sense. So I would say Kids Crossing is definitely one of those that stands out as a place that's kind of trying to brand itself really as the go-to place if you're a same-sex couple or single person who's gay and wants to foster or adopt children.
Okay, and that brings me to the question, what are the laws about same-sex adoption and discrimination in Colorado?
Well, if you want to get any federal funding, you know, you cannot discriminate against people coming in to foster or adopt kids because they're gay or LGBTQ. There's also a state law that was passed in 2021 that very specifically spells it out. It just says it's illegal to reject couples or single people because they're gay and they want to foster or adopt. And, you know, it's been kind of a controversial topic in Colorado and nationally for years. And Catholic Charities of Denver, for example, stopped its adoption program in 2015. And that was not long after people from Catholic Charities were at the Capitol in Denver saying that if Colorado legalized civil unions, same-sex civil unions, that would lead to the church to quit providing adoption and foster care services. And it's also been interesting because there's been this Supreme Court case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court last year. And what happened there is Catholic Social Services in Philadelphia was saying they would not accept same-sex couples who wanted to foster or adopt. And because they were saying that, the city of Philadelphia basically said, we're ending your contract as a foster family provider, which led to Catholic Social Services suing, went all the way to the Supreme Court, which decided in favor of Catholic Social Services, saying that ending their contract was discriminating against their First Amendment right to freedom of religion. So there's a lot of gray area, I guess you could say, going on here, even though Colorado law is very straightforward.
Your story begins with Diamond Kobolinski, who spent almost his entire childhood jumping from one foster home to another, from when he was 2 years old to 17. What did he tell you about how Kids Crossing helped him through those years?
Well, Diamond, like you said, he lived in about 40 different foster homes and residential centers through his growing up. And even a couple times, he was really close to adoption. And he told me this gut-wrenching story of being with a foster couple that he had known really well from a summer camp that he had gone to, and they were getting close to their adoption date, and they got in this huge argument, and Diamond blurted out that he was gay, and their whole relationship kind of crumbled. And this was a church-going family that, you know, had kind of criticized his choice and like what he wanted to wear, or I guess if he they thought he was acting gay. And, you know, he was only a little kid. He was like 9 years old when this happened. And shortly after he blurted out that he was gay, that ended and they did not adopt him. And he kind of shut down, you know, and went bounced through all these placements. And then when he's 17 years old and he's really close to aging out of foster care and just being an adult on his own, this lesbian couple reached out and wanted to adopt him. And at first he was like, no, you know, I'm about to be an adult. I'm done with this. But they took it slowly. You know, he had a couple hours with them and spent the weekend at their house. And he eventually got adopted by them after a couple months at age 17. And, you know, just for him to describe what that felt like, it was hard to understand. But like, for example, he said, he had always been afraid of the dark, like well past the age he should have been afraid of the dark. And when he moved in with his two moms and felt safe for the first time in his life, he stopped being afraid of the dark. So that was just one example. You know, he could dress how he wanted. He could act how he wanted. And now Diamond works for Kids Crossing. And his mission really there has been to make the agency more inclusive and, as I said, like kind of this go-to place for LGBTQ youth. So he's been working on that, like a website redesign really to advertise for these families. And, you know, he said to me, the support that he has from his two moms is something that every kid should get to have.
Sounds like life-changing impact it had on him.
Yeah.
You also talked to the supervisor for Adams County's foster care parent certification program, who said they're really committed to only certifying foster parents who will accept gay or trans kids into their homes. But in that process, they've sort of run into some challenges. Can you talk more about those?
Yeah, I was really astounded with what's going on in Adams County. They're kind of seen as the leader in this work. They even got, you know, a National Human Rights Campaign award for their work recruiting LGBTQ accepting families. And, you know, they make it, as Angela Wilson, who works there, put it, like crystal clear. If you show up for an informational meeting and you want foster kids from Adams County, you're going to know right off the bat that you need to be affirming. And this is because maybe a kid doesn't know they're gay or trans or, you know, hasn't identified that way. So every family, according to their view, needs to be affirming and ready to accept that and not further traumatize a kid who's already been traumatized if they turns out they're gay or, you know, are experiencing, you know, gender identity issues and, you know, want to wear nail polish or whatever could happen in the home. They need to be ready for that. But Angela was telling me that about once a year, somehow a family will like slip through the cracks and make it through all this training. And then right when they're about to be certified, say, oh no, we don't want any LGBTQ kids. We can't handle that. And she'll say to them, like, that's not an option. Haven't you been listening, basically? Like, you shouldn't have decided to go through with this. And last year she had a couple that, you know, she worked with for months and months and met with them, she said, ad nauseum, because they would not give in to the fact that they had to be LGBTQ affirming. And because of that Supreme Court case I talked about, you know, Adams County was advised, like, well, you can't reject this couple because that would be discriminating against their freedom of religion. So instead of accepting the couple as a foster family, basically she just met with them to death. And eventually they were like, fine, we withdraw, like, we give up. And, you know, maybe they went somewhere else, who knows. But in Adams County, I mean, basically you have to be LGBTQ affirming or they don't want you as a foster.
Well, this was great and important reporting, Jen. Thank you again.
Thanks, Olivia.
To read more, go to coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A state Senate committee rejected a bipartisan effort Tuesday to ban the sale of flavored tobacco and nicotine products, including menthol cigarettes in Colorado. The legislation was intended to reduce teen tobacco and nicotine use, but was unlikely to become state law due to a lack of support from Governor Jared Polis. Now it will be up to cities and counties to regulate the issue. Dozens of bills are stuck in a logjam in the Colorado House ahead of the session's end on Wednesday night. State lawmakers sat at their desks until the wee hours of the morning this week as Republicans used stall tactics to run out the clock. Some of the bills in the long queue are bipartisan and uncontroversial, but could still be killed if a vote isn't made by 11:59 p.m. Wednesday. Check coloradosun.com for the latest reporting by the Sun's political team, who has spent long days at the Capitol to cover the legislative session at crunch time. For the second year in a row, embattled Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters has been barred from overseeing elections. A Mesa County District Court judge ruling in a lawsuit filed by Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold found that Peters and her deputy Belinda Nisley neglected their duties and are unable to perform their duties as Mesa County designated election officials through the election in November. Peters, who is now running for the Republican nomination for Secretary of State, is accused of a security breach of the Mesa County election system that occurred last year. She was indicted by a grand jury on 10 counts in connection with the breach, which resulted in passwords and software being displayed on the internet. A Colorado-based reporter for the New York Times won his second Pulitzer Prize on Monday. Dave Phillips was part of a team that won a Pulitzer in the international reporting category for their reporting of civilian deaths from U.S. airstrikes in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Phillips won his first Pulitzer in 2014 when he was an investigative reporter at the Gazette newspaper in Colorado Springs. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.